Not one of them was saved. How do you know that, Brother Floyd? Because they would have spoken up and said, "Oh, King, no need to send to Ekron to hear from Beelzebub. There is a living God here in Israel. We can call on Jehovah." And so in this story, God is also not only restoring Elijah to his former position by showing him that he trusted. Hey, when your son fails you, how do you let him know that it's all okay? You show him what he did wrong, give him time to get over it, time to think it over, and give him another assignment. Then he knows Daddy's really forgiven him. He knows it's okay. God's after those messengers. They've already seen Elijah. They've been confronted by Elijah. Scared them to death. How do you know it scared them? They disobeyed the king to obey him. You say, well, maybe they knew it was Elijah. No. When the king asked them who it was, they did not say it's Elijah the Tishbite. They described the man. They didn't know who it was, but he had the authority of God in his voice. And they obeyed him rather than the king. Verse 13. And he, Ahaziah, sent again a captain. Oh, repent, Ahaziah. Can you believe it? Do you see the patience and compassion and long-suffering of God? I just struck old Ahaziah. You know, me, if I'd been God, I'd struck old Ahaziah full of worms, you know, back 7 verses before this. Turn him to a kumquat and burn him in hell forever. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Verse 13, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up. See, these other insolent men who thought that their commission and themselves were greater than the man of God in his commission said, "You up there, come down here right now. We want to see you. Thus says the king, you get back to the palace." This man knew who was in control. He knew who had authority there. He goes up alone by himself up to the man of God. Falls down before him. Look at this. Fell on his knees before Elijah. I like that. It says he fell on his knees. Baal worshippers worshipped on one knee. They bowed the knee to Baal. They bent one knee. The other knee was not bent. This guy drops both knees down. Jews worshipped on both knees. And then would even prostrate themselves sometimes in the scriptures. This guy is on both knees. He isn't identifying with Baal at all. Says he fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, I thought they were the king's soldiers, thy servants." He just laid this whole group at Elijah's command. "Let our life be precious in your sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore," he says, I believe what happened. Now, listen. Yes, he's here mainly out of fear, but fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. This guy's beginning to get smart. "Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight." Now, let me tell you, he has come and implored God through Elijah for mercy. And I want you to see one of the big things the guy's got going for him. Did you notice it in verse 13? He didn't just plead for his own selfish life. This man, Paul, is a good leader of men. He's a true soldier. A lot of you in here have been in the military, Larry. Steve, this man's a true soldier, a true leader. He's also a man whose heart God has begun to deal with. Listen, this guy's been riding that horse a long way to get to Elijah. He knows what's happened to 102 men. They have been Texas fricasseed. He's been thinking it over. this God answers by fire. He knows the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, that God answered by fire then. And all the people said, if he'll answer by fire, we'll obey him and we'll follow him. But they hadn't. Israel did not repent. Some people did, but the nation didn't. This man pleads for the life of his 50 men. I like this guy. I'm glad God spared him. So he pleaded for mercy. Watch 15, because this is the highlight of tonight. Are you ready for verse 15? This is the biggie. This is what you came for. You didn't know it, but it is. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, you know, Elijah needed to hear from God right about now. Listen, this story sounds pretty good up to now, but let me tell you something. It's because you're not thinking, how would you like to be sitting out in the wilderness with a contract out on your head from the king's mother? They've been after you for years. And now the king sends 51 men to summon you. Sounds great now that when you're reading the book, but how would you like to be out there and 51 soldiers are after you? I mean, quit making this a history lesson. You know, some of us can't handle more than one or two enemies. I'm not going to tell you who they are, you know, necessarily. You all got, you know, different situations, right? The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went with him unto the king. That was the test. That was the test. See, listen to me. Trials, tests, and afflictions happen to reveal our hearts to us and to reveal God's heart, to the intent and purpose that we will be either repent if we need to repent, or if we're walking with God, that we'll see that we're walking with God and be edified and encouraged. Elijah needed encouragement. He had failed in a big assignment. You say, what's the test? Listen, man, that hill is safety. It's sanctuary. You got to be stupid to leave that hill. The hill is in all our lives. That hill. Alan, you found that hill. Every one of you in this room have found some time or place where you were in trouble and God rescued you. He rescued you with a deliverance. And it became that place you could depend on, that thing you could depend on. Maybe it was prayer. Maybe it was a scripture. Maybe it was some person that God on more than one occasion had used to help you. Maybe some of you have had spiritual problems, and maybe even here that God has sent you here and used me several times in the lessons to encourage you, to get you out of the pit through God's Word. Hills come in all shapes and sizes, and they never go away. The hill is that place where you've been under the gun and God delivered you. And you've had success with God there. You've taken hold of the horns of the altar and God has delivered you. Now the hardest thing in the world is to leave that hill. But you see, the problem is quite often the hill becomes your fetish, becomes the place of your trust rather than the living God that delivered you on the hill. See, Elijah could begin to think, let me tell you what, I've learned. See, Elijah, he's catching on. If I stay on this hill, God throws fireballs down on everybody that tries to get me. I mean, man, listen, if you think I'm getting off this hill with old Jezebel after me and Ahaziah, you're out of your mind. You see what I'm saying to you tonight? So the hill is a test. The place of safety turns in God's wisdom to be the place of His test. All right, Elijah, you've been trusting me up on this hill. Now, boy, I want you to trust me off the hill. Am I only the God of the hills, or am I not also the God of the valleys? Some of you in valleys tonight. In valleys. God brought you here because you need encouraging. And you think it's easy for men of God. They don't ever get into hill and valley problems. I want you to see that, listen, there's no man in Scripture you could clearly put ahead of Elijah other than the Messiah himself, Jesus. Yes, Moses is great. Yes, Abraham is great. But you've got to put Elijah up there with that bunch. This is big. These are the big boys. But they're men. They're our brothers. And they fail and they succeed. But the one that's always constant in the story is their God. The hill looks safe. Going down that hill looks dumb. He's going to the palace. Not only has Ahaziah got it in for him, his mother does. But you see, God has given him all he needs. Now you hear this. He is not presuming on God and says, I'll just go and step out on faith, or I'll confess nothing's going to happen. I'll get what I confess with my mouth. No. God spoke a word of God to him. Not just a general word of God. It was a personal thing to him. Now, God can take Scripture and do that to you. God can speak a Scripture to you in your spirit. He quickens it. It comes alive. It burns in you. And he may have been saying it to Timothy, but suddenly it comes alive to you. It may have been to Timothy, but suddenly it becomes for you. Moreover, the letter of to Titus, it was to Titus, but for us, wasn't it? The letter to the Thessalonians was to them, for us. What I'm saying is, God allowed Elijah to show us a test of faith. Faith is not you walk ahead of God and count on Him to pull you out when you get ahead of Him. Faith is, just like in this hill problem, first you hear from God. He tells you exactly what to do. Then you obey with the Hebrew mind, not the Greek mind. The Greek mind would never have left that hill. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Greek mind ain't going to figure this one out. The Greek mind will reach the wrong conclusion. I'm safe on the hill. But see, God was telling him, this hill has ceased to be sanctuary for you. If he had stayed on the hill, he would perish. God would not protect him on that hill anymore. The protection comes from obeying God in faith. And faith means God tells you what to do and you respond. I want you to see he responded immediately. What a Hebrew! He'd learned. He had grown. See, you wouldn't think a man that could be used like to defeat the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel could ever grow spiritually. But he has. Glory. This is faith. This is faith. He arose. Isn't that a great... Can you believe it? Go with him. Don't be afraid. And he arose. I can't believe it. See, we think the next words are, and he said, well now Lord, let's have a sign. What'd you say again, Lord? I'd like a second opinion. How about that one? Some of you come in this room and you hear the voice of God when I teach. You hear Him speak to you when we teach God's Word in this room. And many of you leave wanting a second opinion. I'm going to tell you something about God. He never gives second opinions because His first one is right. Understand that this looks to the natural mind. I understand this looks stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-T. Stupid. To leave a known place of refuge. But in Christianity, this is what happens in your life and mine constantly. And that hill, for every one of you, is a different thing. It's a different test. But it's still the test. And Elijah trusted God. You know why? You can trust somebody that loves you. When you fail somebody, really fail them, and they don't desert you, they keep on loving you, it draws out a response in you back. If you're going to love me no matter how bad I let you down, Jane, if you're going to love me no matter how many times how bad I let you down, then I'm going to automatically love her. The fact that her love is not based on my performance and is not conditional automatically draws out a positive response of love back from me. See, the problem is most of the people we know don't seem to love us unless if we ever let them down. That's not the kind of love God has.
Now, Elijah knows if he goes, that Ahaziah would be irritated by his presence. Ahaziah would be irritated when he saw him. He'd be irritated because of four things at least. He'd be irritated, number one, by his predicament. The man is sick, nigh to death. He'd be irritated by Elijah's prediction, that is, that he would die. He'd be irritated by the death of his 102 men that he had sent to arrest Elijah. And number four, Jezebel's influence as the queen mother would be quite a thing for Elijah to have to face, because she may be there, and if not there, at least we know she's put the contract out on him. But observe the love of God. In verse 15, God has told Elijah what to do exactly. Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. So you see that God, in his mercy, has told Elijah not to worry about a thing. Now, as Elijah comes before Ahaziah, a man that he should fear for all these reasons, observe his faithfulness. He faithfully gave the exact commandment of God as a true man of God would do. See, it's one thing to say it when you're not facing the man, when you're not facing the wicked king, but here he is face to face with him, and he faithfully gives word for word what God said.
Verse 16, "And he said unto him," he, Elijah, "said unto him," Ahaziah, he goes to the palace. In verse 16, he's there. 51 men are thinking, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the God of Elijah the Tishbite, has spared our lives this day. Our captain pleaded for our lives. We know what happened to the other 102, and we're alive. They're thinking. They're thinking all the way back. They're thinking. And now they're marching in to Ahaziah on the bed. He said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord, not Beelzebub, God of Ekron, whom you sent to inquire from. As you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron. How did he know that? How did he know that? Everybody in the palace ought to be wondering, how did Elijah the Tishbite know about this? He was miles away at the time. The point is that our God is omniscient and omnipresent. He is all-knowing, and he's everywhere at one time. Is it because there's no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, in other words, that's why you're going to die and die now. That's why your time is up. Therefore, you shall not come down off that bed to which you are gone, but you shall surely die. So he died. Beloved, the only way I interpret that and the only way I read it, the way I understand the story is, and the way I proclaim the story is, he died on the spot. That was it. And the reason God did it like instantly like that was, all the messengers and soldiers were there. His attendants were present. They know the whole story. They know everything I've taught you tonight. God was after their souls too. We don't know how many people got saved out of this story. We don't know the ultimate of it. The scriptures don't tell us. But someday, we'll find out. And even if not one of them got saved, the important thing is we saw God's heart. We saw God strive, put his own man's life on the line, tested his own man's faith sorely for the souls of all these men. What a testimony to these men, to these messengers. And he died. Yes, when God speaks, it happens. And that's the third time he said it. And he says, Jehoram reigned in his stead. Beloved, God demonstrated the superiority of Elijah's authority as God's delegated authority, and he demonstrated his own power over the God of Ekron in this story by casting down that fire. He showed everyone Elijah's authority was the true authority, that he spoke for the living God. And if he spoke for the living God, then all men acquainted with the story should fall down and repent. It's the only logical conclusion. P.S. Ahaziah was up on a bed. God says, you will not come down alive. Elijah was up on a hill. And God says, boy, go down, you'll live. Both cases happened just like God said. Therefore, beloved, see the heart of the living God. And just as surely as these men perished, some of you have been brought in here tonight to hear this story so that you can hear and fear and repent and call on God for mercy. And just like He extended mercy to the captain of this third 50, He'll extend mercy to you. There is no safety on hills. The only safety is in a living God that goes everywhere you go and knows everything you think. And no matter what He tells you to do or where He leads you, it doesn't mean you won't be surrounded by 51 of the enemy. And it does not mean that you will not be brought before the enemy's judgment seat in many fearsome and awesome situations. But the point is, just you trust God, because your life, as Elijah's was in this story, is precious in His sight. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God of Elijah, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one that led Moses through the Red Sea, Father, we call on You with all our hearts, thanking You for encouraging us tonight through the power and truth of Your Word. Father, minister now by the power of Your Spirit to each heart that's in this room. Encourage those that were down and needed encouragement, and those that were in here tonight and needed to repent from having judged You. Give them the grace to repent so that they too can leave tonight, Father, forgiven and rejoicing in Your forgiveness. And Father, lastly, for those like Ahaziah and like these messengers who have fought against You for so long, give them the grace that as they've seen the truth to repent and call on Jesus, Messiah of Israel, Savior of the world. For it's in His name we pray, Father. Amen.